Welcome to Let's Talk Transportation, a podcast series of the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization, also known as the MPO. We talk about the ins and outs of transportation in Broward County and all of Southeast Florida, why it matters, how it works, and the challenges and opportunities related to achieving great transportation. I'm your host, Greg Stewart, Executive Director of the MPO, and I'm joined by
Christine Henshofsky, and I'm the State Representative for District 95.
Welcome. This is great having you. You're one of my favorite characters that I've worked with in my life, and being able to serve at the City of Parkland as well as on the MPO board. But let's start at the beginning. What brought you to Florida, and how's your path been going?
Yeah, so I was born and raised actually in Boston, Massachusetts. So I was a city kid. But in 2000, my husband got a job here in South Florida. So we moved down here. Our oldest was 2 at the time, and I was pregnant with our youngest.
Well,
and
you were happy you're getting out of the cold.
Well, Boston was kind of all I knew. We came down here, and like I said, our oldest was 2. I was pregnant with our youngest. We didn't have any family. We didn't have any friends. He was busy with work. So I started getting involved in the community because I wanted this to be our home, and I wanted to feel like we were at home here. And I got involved with the moms groups, and then I just kind of parlayed into getting involved in the city, attending city commission meetings, writing notes about the city commission meetings for a local magazine, being on my homeowners association, being involved in my church. And
so that kind of morphed into ultimately making you into a politician.
Elected official.
Elected official.
Public servant. I still have my directness from Boston. You know, we kind of tell it like it is. We don't sugarcoat things. So I don't know that politician is usually what people think of when they think of me. So I got involved in our education advisory board.
Okay.
And for 7 years, and then I'd been going to commission meetings for almost 10 years when a seat on the commission opened up and people were like, Christine, you should really run. Like, I don't think I'm the one that should be running. Remember, I tell it like it is. I don't think that really works with getting elected to office.
So when you say tell it like it is, because like I said, I've known you for a while, it's like, what are your favorite tell it like it is stories from like the time in Parkland or your time, here at the MPO?
Yeah, I mean, I just, to go back a little bit. So undergrad, I majored in business and philosophy, and then I got my MBA. I'm very solution oriented. So for me, it's all about where are we now? Where are we trying to go? And there are probably 1,000 different ways to get there. So let's work together to find the path. And when I say tell it like it is, if there's a problem, we have to be honest about what the problem is.
Right.
And if there's a solution, we have to be honest on what viable solutions there are. It also means that sometimes people would ask us to do things in the city that were not under our purview. They were something that the state did or the county did. And I never wanted to make promises to people that I couldn't deliver on.
So how did this is a recent experience for myself is, you know, hey, people get involved in things, but it's not their purview. It's another agency's.
Right.
How do you tell that to someone in a way that resonates with them?
I like to educate on the process. I fully believe that a public that's educated on how government works is an asset to any community that you're in. So explaining, for example, that certain things are done by the school board that the city doesn't have jurisdiction over, which is very different from the government that I came from, because in Boston, we have the Boston Public School Systems that are run by the city of Boston. Explaining to people that their tax bill, there was only a small portion that was actually going to the city of Parkland. There were bigger portions going to the school district, bigger portions going to the county, and that you had to look at your trim notice. And explaining to people where they could find their trim notice to actually understand what made up their tax bill. And it was just things like that. And funny enough, most people appreciated it. They appreciated, you know, having an understanding, because when you take that time to educate people on how it works, you've now empowered them to kind of advocate for issues that are important to them. So it's not like you just have to have me advocating for issues, but you have a voice in the process.
And you've and you've taught them the process.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's really great. It's a teachable moment. So you're now sitting on the city commission
out
in Parkland. Great community, relatively new to Broward.
Yeah.
And what ended up, how did you end up like getting into the transportation side of things and actually coming over here to the MPO?
Well, Parkland was growing a lot. What a lot of people don't realize is the growth you see now was actually planned, a lot of it back in 2008, believe it or not.
Right.
And that was before my time even on the commission. And I had seen, so the Wedge got annexed in around 2008, 2009.
So for everybody listening in, the Wedge was a piece of actually a different county, Palm Beach County, which is our neighbor to the north. And it's on the south side of Loxahatchee Canal. And that was actually brought into Broward County and then actually moved in to the municipality of Parkland. And so that was a very unique thing. I think that's only happened in the state of Florida three times in its history, where one piece of a county went to another county.
And it was, and I understand why it was done. The idea was that this piece of property was contiguous to the city of Parkland, and therefore anything that was developed there would affect the city of Parkland more than it would affect Palm Beach County.
Right.
So the idea being to bring it in to then control it.
Allow for emergency services, allow for police, schools, all the rest. Because to get onto the other side of the canal, you had to drive, several minutes east and then north and then back around.
Correct. And part of the deal that was made at that time is that university wouldn't go through so that the city of Parkland would not be a pass-through city. So the Wedge came in, and then there were certain approvals that were already made. And what a lot of people don't understand is once certain approvals are given, you can't deny future landowners those approvals because then you're discriminating. Because if it was allowed a certain density for this landowner, when the next landowner who's nearby comes in and says, I want the same, you can't say, well, no, we give it to this person, but not to you.
We used to, there's a, what's it called? Birch A. Harris Act. That's that land use act, basically.
Yep.
You have the authority to do this, you must continue to have that authority to do it.
Correct. And that's why every decision made on the city commission is precedent in certain things. So here I am, the Wedge had already been annexed in, and I remember saying, what's the plan for Lox Road?
Right.
And there wasn't much of a plan yet, which was very concerning to me in 2013.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember you and I having discussions about it. And then I said, I want to be on the MPO and help drive that project moving forward, because that was going to be so crucial to the areas that where development had already been approved.
Right. And that's actually my fondest memory is sitting down with you and actually talking about what that could be. What's that future for that particular facility? Because right now, you know, there's just a guardrail and two lanes and a canal and it's not really quite nice. But the ideas that you had, whether it's the, you know, tree-lined streets and the roundabouts and really making that into something special and unique, which it deserves to be, because it's a unique facility even for Broward County. And, you know, it's just like that, the concepts that you were coming out of the brain from this girl from Boston.
Yeah. And in Boston, we call them rotaries. We don't call them roundabouts. So I have learned the South Florida vernacular on that. And I know people don't understand roundabouts. And going back to roundabouts, we also made sure to get that roundabout in front of the Parkland Golf and Country Club before my time as mayor was completely over. And roundabouts, what people don't understand, they're safer than intersections because you can't fly through a roundabout. And the damage is not as great because you can't travel through at high speeds. It also keeps the traffic moving. So it's much better than the stop signs, for example, that we had on University and Old Club Road. Now that traffic moves a lot better. So it keeps the traffic flow up and it's a safety measure.
And that safety measure, just real quick on that, because it's like a lot of accidents and deaths occur because the car's, it's like a T-bone, it's called.
Yeah.
Where you go right into the side of another vehicle with the front end of a car. You can't do that on a roundabout or a rotary. I'll use the term.
Now, it does mean we need some driver education on how to work. Like, once you're in, you're in. And people going in yield to who's already in the roundabout. So it still takes some driver education on that. But people will learn. And they're, as a city, I know in my time there, we did some education. I believe the city's continuing to educate on how to use the rotary / roundabout. And we have those in our driver's books, along with parallel parking that isn't so common in South Florida either. So there are certain adjustments we've had to make. But it's interesting, you know, driving patterns are different.
I lived in Boston for a while. When I got out of school in Pittsburgh and I went over to Boston, and people in Boston drive incredibly different than they do. And
we drive with purpose is how I like to characterize it. We're there. We mean business. We're following the rules of the road, but we also would like to get to our destination in the most efficient way possible.
And that is how I would describe it too. Nice way.
Maybe I am getting better at this politician thing.
That's really awesome. That's really awesome. So now, you know, when you look at Loxahatchee Road, Lox Roads for short, and you like, that's it. That's a point of pride, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, patience is not my virtue. Hence, I mentioned the Boston driving and the driving with purpose. I do wish it had been much earlier. I don't think people realize how early it started.
Yeah.
And that funding from the state level was an issue in the very beginning. The city of Parkland had the money set aside. Broward County had the money set aside. But it was taking time to get the other funding in. So we're in a difficult spot now because a portion of the road is closed. I had heard that from some comments I had seen on social media. And that's unfortunate because, you know, the people have been moving in there for a while now and the residents are already there. It would have been better to have it in.
They're getting out.
They're having to go on all the other roads throughout the city, leading to a lot of traffic issues.
Wow.
So it is a huge, it's a huge inconvenience right now. In the end, it will lead to safer roadways in the city of Parkland. But right now, it is absolutely a huge inconvenience.
So together, we were able to do that particular facility. But then you went on. You moved on. You're term limited out in Parkland. And
I wasn't term limited, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Kristen Jacobs was my friend. She was our state rep before I was elected to the position. And she had always said to me that when she was termed out, she would like me to run for the seat. And I remember telling her, I'm kind of a local person. I think I understand like this local thing. I don't know that I would like being in the state house. I don't know if my skill set would be conducive to that work. It can get very partisan if you allow it to get that way. And I like to work on solutions. For me, coming to a conclusion, coming to a solution is the fun part of the work. That's what, I mean, I go back to when we put the streetlights up on Lox Road, where I had to follow the FPL people when I was up at a Broward Days at the Capitol. And they said, we don't have time to meet. We're walking over to FSU. And I said, I have nothing to do. I will join you. And on that walk to FSU, I explained to them that I would love to take them down Lox Road and show them how dangerous it was without lights. So Kristen had cancer.
Yeah.
And had told me a couple months beforehand that she wanted to stay in touch because she really thinks that this would be a good position for me and that I would do a good job. She also worked across the aisle, was an environmental advocate, and was very effective as a Democrat in a very Republican state legislature.
Blueberry and tomato soup, yeah.
Yeah. And then approximately 2 weeks before she passed, and I didn't share this when I was running for the seat, but she texted me and asked me to run for her seat. And that was,
wow. Yeah,
it was very, I get very choked up about it. I miss my friend, but I do the work now in a very bipartisan way. I'm always looking for where we can agree on things. Not changing my values. I still vote my values. I vote my conscience. But I'm also aware that there are many areas that we can agree on. And I want to make sure I'm making her proud.
I knew her for a decade before she went on to the legislature. Her spirit, and she touched everybody. She really did it in so many different ways. And I had the great opportunity to travel with her around the country a little bit too. So those personal moments I got to see and spend. And the fact, honestly, if you carry her spirit, which I believe you do, that's going to be one of those things that will always be with you no matter where you go.
Yeah.
And there's times I hear Kristen in my head.
Yeah.
telling me something. And I know that's crazy. But
yeah, the first bill that I ever passed off the House floor was naming the coral reef after her.
Oh.
And I loved working on that. I'm still getting emotional because it was a way of keeping her with me in the process.
Right.
And I was glad when it passed and we renamed the coral reef after her. But I was also sad because it kind of meant she was no longer with me in that process.
Yeah. So now that you're up there and you're carrying on Kristen's legacy for the community, which is super important, I'd love to be able to talk to you a little bit about where you see the future. And yeah, where are we going together? How are we going to get there? Because, this is a very partisan time, but that will pass. Eventually the pendulum swings back. So what do you see the future for Broward, for Parkland, for you, for our community?
Well, I'm first going to also mention in my first session, we worked together on a bicycle and pedestrian safety bill, which was fantastic, really confirming some of the rules of the road and how we all respect how we're moving on our roads, which I think is kind of how we have to be in all these processes. People forget that we all come to how we look at things based on our own personal experiences in life. So we bring that experiential lens to every topic that comes in front of us. And we'd be surprised having conversations with people on how many things we actually do agree on when we're willing to listen to each other and not just listen on what somebody's thoughts are.
Right.
But hear their story of what shaped their views on certain things. What happened early on in their lives to affect them and make them think a certain way. And that's how I work with everybody that will allow me to in the legislature. I want to hear, how they grew up, what Right. their family life is like, what are some of the things they've experienced. To kind of learn more about what shaped their views on things and see where we might have things that we agree on. And then where there are times that we disagree, there's a way to do it without making it personal. And I try and really, so for example, when there are bills that I find horrible coming before me in committee, and I can think of a couple right now, I won't name them, but I go through and talk about the bill itself. I talk about the different lines where I think wording is so vague that it will cause people to not do things they maybe could do out of fear of retribution that's allowed in the bill. I also talk about what I believe are the impacts to real people based on the legislation. One of my favorite things to do is to have town halls in my district and have people come and tell their stories, tell their experiences, and then talk about those stories and experiences when we're discussing legislation that will impact them, whether positively or negatively. I think we have a real problem where people don't feel that they're heard in this process.
Right.
And that their experiences are acknowledged in this process. And I think one of the jobs we have as public servants is to make sure that people know that sometimes we might not have the power to do everything we want to do for them, but we're not overlooking the struggles they're having. And we are lifting up those experiences wherever we can so that they know that they are seen in this process. Because in the end, mm-hmm. They're who we work for.
That's the truth. It's the public. You know, I'd love to have you back on because there's so many more things we can talk about. And you just gave me a great idea about even maybe honoring Kristen Jacobs and bringing some other people that worked with her too together and actually talking about all the great things that she kind of the legacy she left us.
Yeah.
Building consensus is kind of what I'm hearing out of the words you spoke today and expanding people's knowledge. Really excited to have you on. Thank you for coming in today. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks so much for having me, Greg.
The Let's Talk Transportation podcast is produced by the Broward MPO, where every day we fund and implement projects that move people and goods, create jobs, and strengthen communities. Learn more at BrowardMPO.org and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Speak Up Broward. If there is a transportation topic you'd like to know more about, let us know by sending an email to info@BrowardMPO.org. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance in the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by MPO employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the MPO or any of its officials. For complaints, questions, or concerns about civil rights or non-discrimination, or for special requests under the Americans with Disabilities Act, please contact Carl Ema, Title VI Coordinator at 954-876-0052 or EMAC at BrowardMPO.org.